Yeah, well, it's good to be back here with you at Bethany. You'll maybe remember last time I brought my post bag with me for part of the kids' talk. Well, I don't have anything with me apart from a story today because I'm still working as a postman over in Airdrie. And a few weeks ago, there was a man who I met. And it was this man who, I guess, in some ways gave me the inspiration for what I want to talk about this morning. When you're a postman, you meet all kinds of people. And this guy was quite an interesting, quite a funny person to meet because it happened outside the local shop in the estate that I was working in. And there was one of the grey boxes, you probably see them dotted around, all these grey boxes where postmen take extra mail out as part of their walk. And I got to the very last part, I was just about finished and I was desperate to get home. But as I was pulling mail out of this box, there was a man who walked out the shop and came right up to me. And he didn't even say hello. He just stuck his hand right out in front of me and he said, "Look at that." And I looked and in his hand was a 50 pence coin. But it wasn't just a normal 50 pence. It was one of those old 50p's. I'm sure all of you remember the big 50 pence coins that we used to have a number of years ago. And so this guy came to me and he put his hand out and said, "Look at that." And as I looked at his hand, I thought, well, yeah, I remember having those. And I can't say I was particularly excited, but this guy kept saying, "Look at that. Look at how shiny that is." And he was completely overcome with this coin in his hand. He just kept saying, "Look at that. Look how shiny it is." And so I was like, oh, yeah, that looks kind of shiny. You know, I wasn't, again, particularly amazed by it. But he was saying, "Look at that. I collect coins. Look how shiny that is." You know, he just kept repeating that over and over again. "Look how shiny that is." And so I asked him, "Well, you collect coins, do you have many in your collection?" And the guy just ignored my question and said, "Look how shiny that is. Yeah, I collect them. But look how shiny this coin is. 1986. Look how shiny it is." And he was just saying, "Look how valuable what I've got in my hand is." And he even said, "You know, I'm going to keep a hold of this because maybe in a few years it'll be worth about $2,000. Look how shiny this is." And I confess I'm still dubious about how much an old 50 pence coin is going to fetch. But this guy was so excited about the coin in his hand that I think he was shown off to the people that worked in the shop beforehand. And it looked like he was going around the whole estate, pretty much saying to whoever would look, "Look how shiny this coin is." He just thought this was amazing. For him, it was the most valuable thing that he had. And he was going around everywhere, showing it off to people, not listening to any questions that people ask, because he just wanted to show off what he had in his hand. And meeting this guy got me thinking about two very short parables that Jesus told, and we read them in Matthew chapter 13. I'm sure they're very well known to you. They're only three verses long in total. The parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great value. That's what the title that they're given. And so let's read them in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 to 46. In these verses, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, when a man found it and covered it up." "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Just try and think for a few moments about what was going on in these parables, these stories that Jesus told, because they're not very long, we're not given a great amount of detail, but just try and reflect on what was going on for these two men. The first guy we meet in verse 44, he's walking through a field. And I've been trying to think, well, what was he doing in this field? Maybe he was looking to buy some land to build a house on. And so he's in this field just looking at the lie of the land, saying, is this suitable? You know, is the land flat enough? Is it really boggy? What challenges would we face building a house here? He might have been a farmer. He's maybe looking to buy a field so that he's got extra pasture for his animals, and he's looking to say, well, what's the grass like? Is it good quality? Is there any dangerous bits for the animals? You know, big, deep crevices that they might fall into? Is there any poisonous plants that we need to dig up before it's safe to let animals out here to feed? Maybe he was just a normal guy on a walk. You know, he's just walking through the field. having a leisurely stroll. We don't know what he was there for, and really it doesn't matter what he was doing. All that matters is that this guy was travelling through this field and he finds some hidden treasure. Again, we don't know what he was doing when he found it. You know, I don't think he was out searching for treasure. You know, I don't imagine he was out with, you know, something like a metal detector trying to find any buried goods. But the guy finds treasure. What the treasure was, we don't know. It might have been something really precious to someone, because often in these days, the practice, if someone had something really valuable and really precious to them, if they didn't want to take it damaged or stolen, they would hide it in a really obscure part of a field somewhere where no one else would look. Maybe it was something like that, something really precious that someone had hidden years and years ago. Or other people think this man might have stumbled upon, you know, a bit of a seam that could be a mine of gold or silver, something really valuable. But again, I don't really know what the treasure was. And again, it doesn't matter what it physically was. All that matters is that this man has found treasure. And he's found something that he thinks is so valuable that he's desperate to have it. And it's not something that he steals and takes away, but the man goes about the right way of doing things. He goes and consults the owner of this land. He says, I want to buy it. Because according to the Jewish laws at the time, if you bought a field or a piece of land, everything contained in that field became your property. And so I think, well, if the owner knew this treasure was there, he's not going to sell the field and lose this treasure. He would go and take it or keep it for himself. And anybody else that's hidden it, that knows about it, they're going to go back and make sure they've got it. But it kind of seems like the treasure in this field is something that everybody else has forgotten about. Everybody else has overlooked. To most people, it's as if this treasure isn't here. But for the man in our story, in this short parable, he has found this hidden treasure and he wants it. He's desperate for it. And it's kind of crazy when you think about what he does. He's so desperate for it, he wants to make sure that he can buy the field and get the treasure. And so his response is, everything is sold. He goes and sells every single thing that he has. That's his response. Everything must go, because this treasure is so great, it's so valuable. This man wants it. He's desperate for it. Everything must go. He sells all that he has so that he can obtain whatever this amazing treasure is. For this man, the treasure was so valuable. The second guy we meet, this pearl merchant, we meet him under different circumstances. He's not like the guy in the field who kind of stumbles upon this treasure by accident. But the merchant seems to be someone who has been searching and looking for the most valuable things that he can find. You know, we're told that he's in search of fine pearls. We've got a man that likes to deal in the finer things in life, because at the time, it's probably still true today, at the time, pearls were one of the most valuable things you could get your hands on. They were incredibly, incredibly rare, so they were worth a huge amount of money. And the bigger the pearl, the more it was worth. And so this man, he goes looking because he wants to collect the finest pearls that he can find. He knows what he's doing. He's an expert in this field, no doubt. You know, he'll know how to spot a fake or anything that's really poor quality. He's not going to be interested in that. He just wants to find fine pearls, the best quality that's available. And so he searches, you know, probably all over the country or maybe even to other parts of the world. He goes searching for the best that he can find. I don't know what his collection might have been like. You know, maybe it was a huge collection, or maybe it was just a really small collection, but one that was incredibly valuable. But as he's searching for these fine pearls, he has a day where everything changes, because he finds the pearl that's described to us in the story as one of great value. For this man, he finds a pearl that is worth so much more than anything else. He just comes across it and it stands out well above everything else that he owns, and he wants it. He's never seen anything like it. He's desperate to have this pearl. There's something special about it, something truly wonderful, truly amazing about it, and he wants it badly. He hasn't just found a fine pearl, he's found the finest pearl. And his response is like the guy who finds treasure in a field. Everything must go. Everything he owns must go because he's desperate to obtain this pearl. Nothing else matters apart from gaining this treasure. And so what we have is two parables that give us the same lesson. Jesus is using them to teach us the same lesson. And what he's saying through these two parables is that the most valuable thing in the world is the kingdom of heaven. I'm sure you noticed that phrase. Both the parables begin with the phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like. And in fact, that's the phrase that you'll read throughout the whole of Matthew 13. You come across it, I think, half a dozen times. And each time Jesus is trying to get across a particular point about the kingdom of heaven. And his point in these two parables is the kingdom of heaven is the most valuable thing in the world. Of course, it's all well and good saying that, but what does that mean? You know, if I was to go into the middle of Paisley today and go and tell people the kingdom of heaven is the most valuable thing, what response would people give? They'd probably just think I was crazy or some sort of religious nut. They wouldn't know what I was talking about. And as I've been thinking about this idea of the kingdom of heaven, I've thought about a man called John the Baptist. We meet him earlier on in Matthew chapter 3. And John the Baptist was a prophet. He was sent by God, given a particular purpose by God to prepare the way for Jesus coming. And in Matthew chapter 3 verse 2, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." What he's saying is, the Saviour of the world is coming. The Messiah, the Christ, the one we've been waiting for, is coming. What he's saying is, the kingdom of heaven is near. He's saying, Jesus is coming. And so this idea of the kingdom of heaven refers to Jesus. It refers to the Son of God who's come to save the world. Of course, the kingdom of heaven, it's got lots and lots to it. But essentially here, what we're saying is that the most valuable thing in the world, the most precious, the most amazing thing in the world is Jesus. That's the message that these parables are getting across, that Jesus is so much more valuable, so much more precious, so much more amazing than anything else that the world offers. It's so important we understand just how valuable Jesus is, understand what his true worth is. When I was young at primary school, we're going back to the early 90s here, I used to collect football stickers. You know, I wonder if some of you here collected them or you've helped children collect them. I don't know how big they are today, but when I was at primary school, the football stickers you could collect, they were the most important thing for a number of weeks. Everybody went crazy for these stickers. And for hours and hours on end, every single playtime was spent going through people's doublers that they'd got as they bought packs of stickers. And all you said to your friends were two words. Either got, and you'd say that a lot. You know, you'd go through their pile saying got. But if you found one that you didn't have, you would say need. And that would get taken out the pile to you so you could swap a sticker for that. Of course, it wasn't just as simple as one sticker for another, because there was ones that we affectionately called shinies. And shinies were pretty much the club badge with a bit of a holographic background. And when you were 9 years old, it was the coolest thing you could get, was a shiny sticker. And they wouldn't just be worth one normal sticker. You'd have to trade two or three for a shiny. But then on top of that, the system, I'm making it sound really complicated, but you know, we were 9 or 10 years old at the time. On top of that, out of the 200 odd stickers in the collection, everybody would really quickly learn what the rarest stickers were. You know, there'd be a particular player. You know, someone really random like John Colquhoun, who played for Hearts, he would be rarer than anyone else. And if someone got a doubler for a rare player, they would rake it in with the number of stickers they could get someone to swap for it, because everybody knew the value of the rare stickers and everybody wanted the rare stickers more than anything else. They were what people would seek more than anything else. And so I want to ask you the question, how valuable do you regard Jesus as? How much do you seek after Jesus? Because he is the most precious in the world. The world, sadly, or at least our society, by and large, doesn't give Jesus much credit at all. They don't pay Jesus much due at all, and it's really sad. I mean, just think about the last week you've had. How many times have you heard people use Jesus' name as a swear word? Or how many jokes have you heard, maybe from family or friends or on the telly? How many jokes do you hear about Jesus or about Christianity in general? Sadly today, people don't see the value of Jesus. They don't see how precious and how worthy Jesus is. But so many other things are prized more than him. Some people prize their job. For them, work is the most important thing in their life, and people will devote their whole life to their job. They want to climb the career ladder. They want to make lots of money and have a good standard of living, and their whole life is driven by this ambition to make as much money as they can, to have the success that will make them stand out to the people around them. Some people build a life on that. And for others, it might be friends and family that is their number one priority. And whilst it's good to love your family, it's good to be good to people, to take care of them, and to give them the proper respect that they're due. It's good to do that, but for some people, their whole life is just built on other people. And Jesus isn't given a second thought. And for many people, life is just about enjoying yourself. It's all about your own pleasure. You know, I was thinking about how busy do you think churches are today compared with Glasgow City Centre last night with all the pubs and clubs. It doesn't apply to everybody, of course, but for so many people, they just want to get through the working week so they can enjoy themselves at the weekend, and they don't pay Jesus any attention. And this is such a shame, because if your life doesn't appreciate how valuable Jesus is, if you don't have that sense of how precious he is, how worthy he is, then your life will never be satisfied. If it's all about other things, your work or your friends, or just enjoying yourself, nothing will satisfy in the way that Jesus does. I mean, think about the two parables we've read. When the two men find the treasure, one by accident, one purposely searching, when they find the treasure, that is all they need. Everything else goes, because they understand how valuable this treasure is. So why is Jesus so valuable? You know, what do we gain from placing Jesus above everything else? Essentially, without him, we'll never know God. We'll never be right with God. It's so important we understand that the whole purpose of Jesus coming to the world was to save us. Jesus, the Son of God, was willing to come here and give up his life, sacrifice his life, so that we could be saved. And on the cross, that's what he did. He gave up his life, and he took all the punishment for the wrong that we've done, this sin that we've all done. All of that was paid for by Jesus' sacrifice. And because he did that, the way's been opened up for us to know God. And the Bible says that if we put our trust in Jesus, if we ask for his forgiveness, then that's what happens. We are forgiven, and we're made right with God. But the story doesn't end there for us. If you become a Christian, it's not just a case of your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven and that's everything sorted. We gain so much more through Jesus, so much more through living for him. If we put our trust in Jesus, if we place him higher than anything else, realize how precious he is and commit our lives to him, then we'll experience true joy. Think about the man in our parable again in verse 44, the guy in the field. He finds this treasure, and then we're told in his joy, he goes and sells everything. The treasure that he's found gives him real lasting joy. Nothing else matters because of this joy and this fulfillment that the treasure gives him. And that is the same for us today. If we understand just how precious Jesus is, just how valuable Jesus is, and if we truly commit to him, we place him above everything else, then we get this amazing joy, this amazing peace, and this fulfillment from Jesus. That's why he's so precious. That's why he's so valuable. Because it is only through Jesus we'll find this lasting joy. Only because he is so precious and so amazing can we have this joy. So many people get mixed up about Christianity, and they say that being a Christian means you live a kind of sad, lonely life and you miss out on so much. And that's not true. yeah, as Christians, there'll be things that we should avoid doing. But anything that we avoid doing doesn't really matter when you consider the joy you have through knowing Jesus. It's such an amazing thing to be saved, to have this relationship, to have this joy that only comes through Jesus. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." And the only way we'll have this full life, the only way we'll have the best life we can live, is by desiring Jesus above all other things. It's not an easy thing to do. You know, we're asked to be like these two men in the story and to give up everything. To give up everything and put Jesus first, to realize how precious he is. That's what we're asked to do, and it's a difficult thing. And it's a challenging life to live as a Christian. But if we do this, we will live the most fulfilling, the best life we can. To have this joy, to have this peace. Realize how valuable Jesus is today. And as you go home, I want you to question yourself and to see, just how valuable do I see Jesus as? And let's remember these two parables. Remember this thing that shows us how precious Jesus is. He's so much more valuable, so much more better than anything else we can have. Let's try and place Jesus at the top of our life, over everything else. Let's see just how precious he is to us. Let's pray. God, we want to thank you for this chance we've had to be together at church. And we thank you so much for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the fact that he is so worthy, so precious, so amazing. And we thank you that your son, Jesus, was willing to give up his life to save us. And we thank you so much for the grace that you give, so much for the love that you give through Jesus. And I pray that you would be with us all today. Take us home safely and help us to reflect on how good you are and how amazing you are and how precious you are. Help us to remember how great Jesus is. I pray that you'd be with us today in Jesus' name. Amen.